step on up, sit down, twist off that bottle top or crack open that can, and welcome to Porch Matters. This is Terry Cagle coming to you from my back porch. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, the name of this show is authentic. On Porch Matters, our saying is this: big issues or just a friendly conversation, no topic is off limits. We take pride in being able to talk about anything with each other in an open discussion. Open discussion is one of the only ways to learn. Your perspectives could be changed. You could change the perspective of others. Friends and family, welcome to another episode of Porch Matters. I'm glad you're here. I hope you enjoy the show. And if this is your first time listening, I hope you like, follow, or subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. Apologies for not dropping this episode last Sunday. I've been burning the candle at both ends lately, and I took advantage of the holiday weekend and tried to relax a little bit. Congratulations to the Alabama Crimson Tide men's basketball team on a fantastic season. Made it to the Final Four for the first time in school history. Roll Tide, guys. I know a big portion of you are probably not wrestling fans, but I just finished watching Night 2 of WrestleMania. Great show. Amazing main event. I'm not spoiling anything wrestling podcasts and websites aren't already reporting. Cody Rhodes finally finished his story. Had several run-ins from the Usos, Solo, Sokoa. Cena coming down surprised me. Was a trip down memory lane watching him and go face-to-face with The Rock. But when I heard that gong and saw The Undertaker, I ain't gonna lie, I was marking out like a teenager. The only thing that could have possibly made it better would have been hearing that glass shatter and seeing Stone Cold walk out one more time. If you're a casual fan, you'll enjoy this WrestleMania. You should go out of your way to see it on Peacock. On this episode, Todd Tillman joins me on the porch. For those of you that don't know who Todd Tillman is, Todd is the season 18 winner of The Voice, co-author of Every Little Win, and a Nashville recording artist. Todd shares a story about going from being a pastor in Mississippi to going through The Voice during the pandemic, all the way to being a singer-songwriter in Nashville in 2024. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Without further ado, let's get started. Todd Tillman, welcome to the porch, my friend. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I appreciate you inviting me on here.
Hey, I'm just happy to have you on here, period.
Yeah, well, it took us a minute to get it worked out, but we got it.
It did. A lot of it was my fault.
But well, I think, you know, I think one time it was just because I had to get supper cooked.
Hey, if there's ever going to be a reason to have to skip out, you got to make sure mama's happy, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. I promised them I'd have it ready by the time they got home. So.
How's life, my friend? Let's just shoot the bull for just a second. I hadn't seen you in about a month or so.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good. You know, life is a lot different now for me than, you know, I imagine that most folks that listen to podcasts and stuff probably don't know me like from before, but life is so different for me now. And so it's just up and down. And one day this is not ever going to work out. And then the next day, hey, look, this is going to work out. And then the next day, well, you know what? It's going to work out, but in a different way. And so that's kind of how it is.
Just in case my audience hasn't been watching TV for the last year or so, it may be a little longer.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Our guest tonight, Mr. Todd Tillman, is the winner of The Voice Season 18.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he happens to be possibly the most high-profile guest the porch has ever seen. So, congratulations, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. I feel bad, though. That's not saying a ton.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you letting me come home, man.
So, life's doing pretty well for you, huh?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, we're just rolling with stuff. I'm writing a lot of music and recording what I can, you know, recording music It's funny, you know, because a lot of people will put in their bio like Nashville recording artist, and I get it, I understand why, but it's not, you know, it's kind of like when I see, and some of these people are my friends, so I'm certainly not being critical, but it's like
absolutely.
When I see somebody like standing in front of a billboard with their face on it, I'm like, I mean, that's awesome, but anyone who pays the money to get your face put on the billboard can have it put up there, you know. It's right. The same with recording, you know, I'm recording, but man, when you record, it's kind of like a lot of money to do that, or you work deals. But hey, I've met a lot of great people, so I'm kind of working all kinds of deals to record stuff. I'm writing stuff. I'm always in the middle of something. I just got put on one of Bob Goff's retreats, which is so cool to me because I love Bob. And
nice.
And so I'm in the middle of sort of, when I say negotiating, let me just say, that's probably not the right word to use because it's not like I'm negotiating anything, but I'm in the middle of, I don't know the word I'm looking for. We're kind of working on some music because someone reached out to me about singing a duet for that's going to be featured in a film. So that's cool, you know. But then, you know, the flip side of all of that is I think the general public can tend to see that kind of stuff and think, man, this guy's got it made. And that is not the case at all. It's just work, a lot of work and a lot of worry that, you know, if people don't book you, you don't get paid and the kids don't eat, you know?
So some
of that too.
I seen a meme a long time ago and it, you know, it still rings true. The one that shows the iceberg in the middle of the clear ocean.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they talk about how all you can see is the top. Y'all, the only thing you can see is the successes and everything, but you can't see all the work that it took and the sheer luck and the blessing of the Lord and everything else to get you to where you could be, to where you, it's all your successes and everything has been seen. Let's touch on a little bit of that because there's probably a lot of people out here that have never heard your story, sir.
Yeah, hang on. I'm trying to fix. I just realized my light was out over here. I don't know what happened to it. But I'll figure that out later. Sorry. I was wondering why it was so dark in here, but I realized my light over here is out. Maybe I can try this one instead. There you go. But yeah, man, what would you like to cover? I'm sorry. I'm super ADD. When the light was out, I'm like, what is going on with this light? So I think it might just be fried because I can't get it to come on.
A lot of people have possibly seen all of your successes and everything, but there's probably not a lot of them that have seen all the work and all of the sheer luck and blessings that it took to get you there. So if you would share your story, I've heard bits and pieces just from what we've shared and everything, whenever I've seen you at the church, I'm sure there's more to it than that. If you would share your testimony, sir.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I want to just give like a sort of preface the whole thing by saying a lot of people, I feel like I just pray that people hear what I say and understand my heart behind it in a couple of ways, because a lot of times we are, all of us, myself included. So let me say that we are all of us sort of products of our own conditioning, you know.
Agreed.
We grew up a certain way, and you know, and I get that. And that's not me like coming like with like a front towards someone. Me too. Like we're all. So I said all that to say, man, probably 2015 or 2016. I couldn't tell you for sure. I was pastoring a church. I've been in ministry like my whole life, and I still love the kingdom of God, and I still love ministry, and one of the ways that I feel like I am misunderstood is that that as much as I love the church, I feel like what God has, I really feel like in the future you'll see a lot more of it too. I really feel like kind of what God has for me and for a lot of his people, it's not that church is not involved. I think if we're not careful, and we have not been from time to time, the church and church activities and church itself, it can become the goal, you know? And I think back in 2015 or 2016, God just really started kind of dealing with my heart, or I was going through a midlife crisis or something. I don't know. I would have been. Oh, I wouldn't have even been 40. I don't guess. I turned 40 in 2018. So, but I don't know, midlife, whatever. I don't know. But I just know that I was kind of struggling with what I was doing, how it was going, a lot of different things. And again, it's, I feel my wife will tell you, like, I'm real bad. I'm so diplomatic. Like, I don't want to like hurt anyone's feelings or feel like, I feel like I don't, those church people were fine, you know. Well, you know, the most of them, you know, there's one or two in every bunch, you know. And
always.
And then, yeah. And then, you know, frankly, there's one or two that, I mean, it's not for me to say. I certainly am not. I'm not like putting a badge on anybody as character or anything. But like, there's one or two that you thought were great, and then turns out they weren't. you know how that is. But we
could talk all night on that. We really could.
Yeah. And you know, and I try to remember, we all kind of have our own brand of suck. I tell people that we all suck in our own way, and so I'm not being, you know. But I was struggling a lot. I had been at that church since I was 14. I entered into ministry, and I put air quotes up because ministry is so many different things.
Yes, it is.
A lot of people don't, you know, a lot of people may not see it that this way or that way, but I entered into ministry at about 18, and became the lead pastor at about 33 or so, I guess, 32. I don't know, 2011, however old I would have been in 2011. I don't know. I'm not good at math.
I'm terrible at that too.
Yeah, I could calculate it up here, but it's just a waste of time. So I became lead pastor, but I started feeling personally, and I think that is the most important thing if you ask me, is how is it that you interact with the Lord personally, and what is it that you personally, like, what direction do you feel like he's sending you in, as long as it's under the covering, you know, that you can't just, I don't believe you can just go willy-nilly and all out to the left field, you know what I mean? But I just was struggling. It was almost like I was trying to hold church ministry up to an image of the character of Jesus. And it wasn't that church ministry was bad. It was more just that they just didn't look a lot alike, you know, like the character and ministry of Jesus and the way that I did it. And I'm not putting that on anybody but me.
Right.
It just looked a lot different. So I started really struggling, you know. I even told our pastor's team that, which was, it kind of a bold move in a way, but I had also been there so long, you know. One thing that I did not tell them, and they did not know, is that I'd started kind of searching, I guess, something else to do, because I want to follow Jesus. I want to peel back all the layers and all of the politics and all of the bureaucracy and all of the quote unquote ministries. And some of them are, and some of them maybe not. That's really not my call. But I want to just peel all that back and just follow Jesus at Sam's Club, you know, or wherever you are, you know. And right. And so I started looking at different things I could do. I knew, and this is one thing I try to be real clear with most folks, because I've had several people who thankfully they were. They had enough character to address me personally and talk to me about it, and we could have a conversation. So I had a lot of people who, well, that's only the ones that have. I'm sure there are some that haven't, you know. But I've had a lot of people who didn't understand. But the Lord showed me that my last Sunday as pastor, the Lord showed me that. He said, Todd, in my heart, I could feel the Holy Spirit say, Todd, you got to give people grace not to understand what you're doing. Because I understand that to the world, it looks like I won the show and left the ministry. But I was on my way out anyway somehow. It probably would have took longer than it did, and that's true. But I started looking at becoming a barber or several things that I filled out. I think I literally, if I dig through my emails, I still have the FAFSA forms where I tried to look at FAFSA and decide, you know, maybe I could go back to school. I landed on real estate, or that's what I say I landed on. That was the plan. I was going to get certified or whatever, all the stuff you do. I had a friend who, well, I mean, he's still my friend, but that did real estate, and that's what I was going to do. And man, one day I was singing on Instagram, and a friend of my sister's actually sent me an instant message, or I guess a DM is what they call them on Instagram, and said, "Hey, you should try this." And it was a registration website for an open call audition for The Voice. And so it was in Atlanta, Georgia. This would have been springtime of 2019. And in the meantime, I will say, you can stop me at any time. I'll ramble all day long. You
don't bother me one bit, my friend.
Yeah. In the meantime, some really devastating things happened in our lives, which I must admit, but the church was not directly involved, but it was sort of a party to, you know, the stuff that happened. I don't know a way to put that, but and so my wife to this day has said that was the nail in the coffin for me, and maybe it was. You know, that I don't know. It did hurt, and there's still a lot of pain from that. I'm still trying to figure out more than one thing. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that was about and where the justice is and all of that, you know, but that's, you know, that's the story of being a human being on the earth. And so that did all happen in the meantime. And so spring of 2019, I went on the website and filled it out. And the audition was summertime, the end of summer, actually July, the very end of July, like the 27th, 28th, I think it was the 27th of July. So between the time I filled out the paperwork and the time that the audition happened, I decided not to go because, you know, I kind of thought that I really wouldn't be a good fit for something like that. And my wife sort of stepped in because my wife's really very, and you know, sometimes it's awesome and sometimes it is not awesome. But she's very like gung-ho, impulsive kind of, she likes to do something new all the time. And you know, I mean, and now she knows I'd say these things to her. So, and you know, if anything's bad, everything's bad, you know, like that kind of, and so, but she did, she stepped in and she reminded me of all the things we had told our kids, about who they were and that they may feel like God is leading them into something that may cause people to sort of side eye, you know, and but still go for it. And she reminded me of all that. And so I went and they just kept saying yes, man. And, you know, I got a yes. I actually didn't expect it. It was so bad. I will say, sadly, that I didn't even bring clothes for the callback audition because I didn't think I would get it. And so when I did, I had to go buy clothes. I had to go to like, because this was like in Atlanta, Georgia. I was living in Mississippi. I had to go buy clothes from TJ Maxx, you know, for the callback audition. And so, little by little, there's a lot of steps to being on a TV show like that. It's not quite, and they all work a little different. Like I got friends that have been on Idol. I got friends on Idol this season, you know, and
right.
They'll talk to you a little bit about the process. And it's I don't know. It's weird. It's almost like once you're, cause you know, I was just doing my thing down in Mississippi, and it's almost like once you're on a show like that, then all of a sudden you're connected to all of these people now that are on these shows. And so, it yes. does kind of be sort of become like less impressive than it might be to the general public. No. You know, no. I don't know another way to put that.
I've actually got a cousin. His name was Cody Hodge. If you paid any attention to CMT and Redneck Island, he was on. I think it was season two.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Cody was the one, you know, on the last episode had the whole thing won, and then he couldn't do one little puzzle or something and got beat. So
you do learn, man, though. You learn a lot from just being on there, and you know, everybody's experience is different. I mean, you literally could talk to me and then talk to another person that was on The Voice with me at the same time, and they share a whole other experience. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know if that's just a mindset, like how you're viewing this thing, or if they really do treat people, I don't know. You know, right. I don't know.
Right.
Cause I was just glad to be there the whole time. I was just glad. I was like, man, I got, first of all, this is huge, you know. Second of all, the voice didn't know that I was really at this pivotal time in my life. Something's got to give, you know. And
right.
And so every week, you know, I just kept doing the songs. And there's a lot, man. And then, you know, my season was COVID. So so after we did our blind audition, I got all the chairs turned around and I picked Blake and I went on Blake's team. And then we went back for battle round and knockout round. And I won the battle round. I won the knockout round. And I thought, man, this is great. You know, we're supposed to go back in April. This was 2020, you know. Right. We're supposed to go back in April. And, of course, in March, whatever your views are on all that, they sort of – it was forced upon us, whatever yes. we think about it, you know. Yes. So we went remote. They sent all this equipment. So every performance was – oh gosh, bro. Every performance was so much. It was so much. And it was, you got to get the cameras right. You got people on a Zoom call and you got to get the cameras right. You got to get the lighting right. You got to make sure the sound is right. You got to make sure the wardrobe is right. You got to make sure all of the art department, which is kind of the background and all the stuff around you, is approved and right. And hours.
And God forbid the internet go out.
Oh man. Yeah. We had, they had all of these fail safes. I mean, they had so many different little things that they had to do, which I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to say, so I won't, but,
right. They had right.
A lot don't of like fail safe.
We don't need you getting in trouble.
Yeah. I don't want to get sued. I mean, I don't know what they're going to take from me, we had all kind of fail safes in place. If this went wrong, then this was the backup. And if the backup fell through, this is the backup to the backup, you know, kind of thing. And so every week, man, I just kept thinking, which I tell people all the time, I don't know why I was so nervous, because what I was scared of was getting kicked off the show, but I just assumed I would get kicked off the show. So I don't know why I was scared, you know, like I thought I was going to get kicked off anyway.
I think it would be because you thought you looked at it as a door opening up for your future.
Yeah. And
because nobody, I hate to say there's a few exceptions here and there, but yeah, you know, who won the World Series last year?
Oh yeah. I don't even remember, man. I don't know.
Who got beat in the divisional playoff?
Yeah.
You know, it don't register. Everybody always tries to remember their winners.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And so I feel you. I'd be nervous. You probably have a whole lot better than what I would have.
It was killer, yeah. And so finally, you know, we made it into the finale, and there's still all kinds of videos and stuff out there. The Voice, everybody asked me this, and I do not know. They don't tell us. But The Voice, after 2 years, they start removing all your performances from like YouTube and stuff. And I don't know. I really don't know why, but they do. And so you can still find them. It's just more like third party kind of stuff out there now.
Right.
But I won the whole show. And I knew like after I like sort of came to my senses that I had won, I knew for sure there is never going to be a more obvious door that God is saying, this is a way for you to exit this type of ministry and go into this kind. And, you know, so I did. And I'll be honest, I've made a bunch of great decisions. I've made a bunch of bad decisions. I would love to say well-intentioned, stumbled in a couple of ways. And a lot of them were well-intentioned. And a lot of them, I don't know how well-intentioned they were, you know.
Right.
But I've stumbled in a couple of ways here and there. Even now, man, every day I just wonder, you know, God, what is it exactly is it that you're wanting me to do and how? Because, you know, I still have not, and this is everybody professionally in this industry would tell you this is like literally like a suicide note or something, you know, but I still have not been able to, in good conscience, just like pick this certain lane, and that's what I do. I don't feel like that's the right thing for me. I feel like the right thing to do is sing the songs that I feel like are meaningful and the ones that I feel like would be relatable and maybe would reach people And some of them are very, very, very Christian in nature. None of them are like not Christian, but some of them are like more country in nature, you know. And the next release is actually a duet with Colin Ray, of all people. You know, I mean, he and I did Love Me together, and that's coming out pretty soon. And I really just want to, I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to be a part of the negative side of any system, whatever that is, whether it's the world system or the church system or whatever, you know, all the music system, whatever. But I also, you know, I also don't want to be like a critic either. I just want to do the right thing. And I just want to, I want to reach people where they are and love them where they are the best way that I can. And so that's kind of what I'm doing now. You know, my wife and me, we've been married 25 years. We got 8 kids. I am, right. Well, 3 of them have moved out. We have 5 at home. I am, the sole provider, and that is terrifying, you know, because especially when you win The Voice, because everybody looks at you and they think, man, this guy's got $1 million in the bank. He won The Voice. He's been on the Grand Ole Opry. He's got a song in the Faith Country Top 10 or whatever. Let me just say something about charts. You don't get no money for those. You don't get paid.
No, sir.
And so I think that's awesome. Like, they're like, oh, he's nominated for ACMA or whatever. And that's amazing. I do. But it's really just work, and it's figuring out, like, all right, God, I'm not above anything. I'm like, all right, God, do you want me to like wait tables during the week? Is that what, you know, because like, I got to pay the bills. I got to take care of the family. But the way my schedule is, it's literally like, hey, we want you to come to this thing. It's on a Tuesday night, you know? And then I'm like, well, then I can't do that.
A lot of people, especially these days, probably don't know how the pay structure is and everything for musicians. And since Spotify and Apple Music and everything else has come out, nobody buys a good old fashioned album anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
Which was a lot of old, I say old because we're old, I guess, but yeah. You know, used to whenever we were kids, we went and bought a CD or we bought a tape or we bought a vinyl album. Mm-hmm. Which are making a comeback these days, thank God.
Yeah, they sure are.
But, you know, a lot of artists used to get percentages off of those sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these days, I don't know what the going rate is for a stream on Spotify, but I'm sure it's not a much. Lot.
It's not even like a cent, I don't think, you know, for one stream.
So in order for an artist to make money, they've got to go tour. Or they've got to go and do this. They've got to go and do that. They can't just specifically rely on the music like they used to, correct?
And then about 8 out of 10 times, not that for me, thankfully, it's not 100% of the time, but it's about 95% of the time. Whatever money you do get paid, a percentage has to go to the booking agent, a percentage goes here. You got to pay the band or musicians or whoever goes with you, you know. But you know what the Lord reminds me all the time? You know, didn't I say the just live by faith? And I think what happens is I actually make a lot of jokes about this, and I feel like people may get offended, and I really am just cutting up. I'm just joking. It's fine. I love you. I think you're great. You know, but I think what we love to do is we love to take that place or that thing or whatever it is in our lives that we are familiar with and we are comfortable with. And we prefer that thing. We know how to do that thing or whatever it is. And we need it. And we try to make that into what God wants us to do, you know? And so if you already know what you want God to say, then that's probably what he's going to say. You know what I'm saying? And so
I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, the hardest part, man, is really being out here not knowing, like, God, I really would love some clarity. Like, if you want me to say, okay, if I felt in any sense the Holy Spirit in my spirit direct me to say, all right, I'm going all in on Christian music, fine. I am a Christian. I love the Lord. I would do that, you know. But I have not sensed that, you know what I mean? Same with any other genre of music. As a matter of fact, it'd be easier for me to do Christian music because I hate it when people are critical of me. I hate it. And, you know, when you do music that's not like just right down the middle Christian and you're following it, knows you as the pastor from The Voice. Oh man, some of them get pretty mad, you know. And
Typecast. So
it would be easier. And I would do that if I feel. And you know, that's one of the biggest things for me is I want the whole world to know because I don't want you seeing next week saying, "Oh, he said he wasn't doing that." No. I ain't saying I won't do nothing. I'm saying whatever if God were to give me. But right now, it's literally like, it's almost like you get in a position between Egypt and Canaan. And if you're not careful, you just wish you could go back to Egypt. You might've been a slave, but at least you knew where the next meal was coming from or where you're going to sleep that night, you know? So right now, honestly, I'm good. I don't need any pity from anybody. I'm just trying to be honest with people right now. Me and my whole family, we're sort of in that wilderness walking it out. You know, we're like, all right, God, like whatever direction you want us to go in. And then, you know, sometimes you feel like something's right and you feel like you want to give it a shot and it just doesn't turn out. And then, you know, also, bro, in this business, it is not helping me at all to be 46 years old, you know, and just sort of starting out really. I mean, I've been in it for 4 years now, but like, you know, just kind of getting kicked off at 46 years old. That's not everyone's favorite thing.
especially when traditionally it's a young person's game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. You know, to me, I think one of the biggest struggles that I have with that is not, I'm not like, oh, this guy. No, you know, there are artists who I prefer and there are artists who I do not prefer. I mean, that's all of us. We like certain ones and we don't like certain ones, but one of the biggest frustrations for me, even in gospel, let's just say we'll go gospel so none of the country people get all mad or whatever, even though the gospel one. It's very frustrating for me to hear a 20-year-old kid just wailing. Even they can have the best voice in the world, and they're up there on the stage just wailing about troubles and trials. Man, you don't know. You know what I mean? Like you know, it's not to say you hadn't seen no trouble. I'm sure you have, but bro, you got to live a little bit of life to sing some of these songs, you know?
We were all there.
Yeah.
At one point, I follow you, but yeah. we were all there. I remember, yeah. I remember in my 20s, I thought that I was just, you know, in the worst spot ever. And, you know, to a degree, there was a few years there where it was pretty dark. However, yep. You know, on the other side, before all my dark stuff happened, you know, I'd hardly had a bill in the world. I was, you know, the closest thing to a bill I had was a truck payment. Life was pretty good back then.
Yeah. Oh man. I always say I'm in the middle of trying to write a song right now called Anything for Nothing, which is basically the point of the song is, man, I would give anything for the nothing we thought we had back then. You know what I mean? We thought we didn't have nothing. Oh, I'll give anything to go back to that time.
I would too. You know? I would. And that, if I could go back in time, that'd be several things that I'd do differently.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I know a lot of people like, don't ever, you know, second guess or this, that, and the other. I'm an overthinker. I always have been. I look forward to stuff, but at the same time, I reflect a lot. Mm-hmm. And I look at a lot of things that I've done in the past, good and bad, and I'm like, man, I wish I had that one back.
Man, I sit here and look and I say, hey, like I look at the calendar and I'm like, man, I have literally got one date booked in this certain month or whatever. And so I'm like, did I screw up? Like, did I make the wrong decision? But then I start thinking, like, I feel like if I had stayed where I was because of me, not because of them, because I don't want anybody being like, well, God, we wasn't that bad, you know, because of me, if I had stayed doing what I was doing, I don't know, man, I'm afraid I'd be a statistic right now, you know, like, I couldn't keep doing it, you know?
The only thing that keeps me halfway sane, and you've met me, that's debatable, is, you know, going back to the scripture where it says our steps are numbered.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though, you know, we've got free will to do what we want to, those of us who are called, our steps are numbered. He knew where we was going to be. He knew what we was going to do. He knew what we was going to say.
Right.
He may or may not have known of the part of the guy that was going to stand in the front yard of his house and put up two middle fingers and say, "F you, God, I don't need you." Even though in his heart, he knew he loved him. That was me.
Right.
I hate to admit that, but that was me.
Oh no, we've all been there. Yeah. He knew
what we were going to do. And I had a conversation with, it's kind of funny, but, one of my drivers, we were talking about this, that, and the other, and, you know, we shared a little bit about each other's history and everything. And he looked at me and he said, it's kind of hard to help people through some things if you ain't never been through it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He says sometimes God lets us and takes us through things just so we can help people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. It's almost like by the time you're old enough to tell the stories, you're too old for people to listen. You know,
you're about right though, but you know.
Yeah. But that's all right. You know, honest, at the end of the day though, man, for me, I would say life has been wild and wonderful and beautiful and good. It's scary though, you know, but I really do feel like I'm doing my very best to walk by faith. And I know there are things. It's weird because me and my wife have this conversation all the time and I end up in a lot of trouble, but like, I'm not trying to like make any excuses for the way that my brain works. I know there are things that I really probably should shore up or kind of, you know, tighten up here or fix that. But it's almost like I'll eventually get there because it's like there's something about the way my brain works that like I cannot force that. I just have to sort of walk in that direction. But you know what? I do feel like if our hearts are to turn toward God and the things of God, and we don't let all, because if you pay attention, man, to society and you pay attention to the media, you pay attention to social media, it's what breaks my heart the most, I think, is there are so many people, and I understand, I don't have any judgment for them, that are like running as far as they can away from faith and Christianity because of the experiences they've had with people. And it's almost like, y'all, these are just people, and they do, some of them are, I don't know, I hate to say bad, like, I don't know, they're like, some of them are like bad, you know, they're like bad people, and you're just having a bad experience with a person. And that's why I say, I believe, but if you look from the time from the first of Genesis, or you could start from the time that Jesus came, the paradigm changes. It just does. And it will continue to change, you know? And so what happens is the old paradigm, however good it was, that's totally beside the point. Whether it was good or right or valid is completely not really up for debate. That's not the point. But what happens is because that's the way we know, and that's what we know, and we've been conditioned that is the right way.
Yeah.
Even though we don't really have a lot of biblical evidence or historical proof, you know, then when the paradigm starts changing, you know, the old way, and I understandably just want to hang on to the old way, you know, but I really do believe, I don't think the church, quote unquote, is dying or any of that. I do think the way that it looks, though, is starting to change. And it has. It always does. It's thousands of years, you know.
You got to look at it this way, too. You know, and I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, you go back in the history of the church, even back into the 1900s, a lot of people came to Christ because of the evangelist at the tent revival with their mm-hmm. Bible open, yelling and screaming about hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
I
I've been to a few of those. Yeah.
As have I. You know, a lot of these days, a lot of people would go to the church and everything, like you said, and get hurt or whatever by what people done. And they are experiencing their own, what they think is hell at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And they're looking for something. They're looking for something to hang on to. They're looking for something to hold on to and help them out of their situation. And then whenever they get hurt at church, they're like, well, what's the point in that? You know,
I understand that.
I've said for several years now that a lot of instances, you may agree with this or you may not, we can talk about it, but church as a whole, to a degree, is turning into a poor man's social club.
Oh, yeah. I believe that in a way. Yeah,
you
sure.
You have to dress a certain way, at least some, you know, they always have to put on their best and this, that, and the other, and always looking down at other people who don't look as good as they do or anything like that. Yeah. We really, as a church and as Christians, need to get past a lot of that. Whatever happened to the day of just looking at somebody and saying, you know what, Todd, Jesus loves you, and so do I. If I can help you in any way, you let me know.
Yeah.
And actually mean it.
Yeah.
You know, God bless missionaries. God bless them. If you've been on a mission trip, God bless you. I don't think I could do it. However, yeah. I'm all for supporting the missions and the missionaries.
Right.
But let's not drive past our very own mission field that we have right now
in our
communities to go and give to that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think what happens a lot of times is we feel like it has to be one or the other, you know, like it's almost like not even in the mission way. It's like with the church and everything, it's like we're in the middle of developing this mindset, because I get in a lot of trouble actually, because people say I'm anti, but I really am not. But we get it. We're in the middle of developing this mindset that you're either pro church or you're anti church. I'm not anti church.
Nor am
I. But that doesn't mean I love the church. Oh my gosh, you know, it's such a huge part of my life. That does not mean though that I can't throw the bathwater out. I'm not going to throw the baby out, but I am throwing the bathwater out. And I think what people honestly. You can read surveys and studies. You can talk to people on the street or whatever. Honestly, if you really kind of whittle it down to the core, all they're really looking for is authenticity. They're just looking for realness. You know, they just want people in the pulpit, people on the street. What they just want you to be like, look, yes, I am here in this pulpit. I'm reading these scriptures and I'm trying my best to unfold them to you and share with you. But the truth is, I'm a mess too, man. I'm doing my best here to get by, you know, and when I was pastoring, you could find somebody from the church if you want to. I used to say from the pulpit, I used to say, look, y'all, sometimes I make mistakes, but other times I know I'm doing wrong and I still do it. You know what I mean? It ain't even a mistake.
Show people that you're real and what you're doing is that for the right reasons and not just to draw a paycheck.
Yeah, man, that's all people are looking for.
Because a lot of people out there are literally thinking the only thing that preacher over here is doing, he's too sorry to work and too lazy to
study. Yeah, oh, man.
Or something along those lines. They don't realize a lot of the other stuff that goes into it. They don't realize what all happens on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All they see is Wednesday night and Sundays.
Yeah, Sundays I actually kind of enjoyed. The hard parts for me as a pastor, I felt really inadequate because people were in the throes of like their own personal hell, and like I did not know how to help them through that except to just be there. You know, I would just show up. You know, and I always felt really, really like inept at that part of the job, you know, working through, you know, being in the emergency room when their family member passed away or find, you know, working through like whatever marital affairs or things, and you know, these people are breaking, and I don't know. It's like you feel, I'm like that though. My wife always tells me I need to overcome that. But like, I felt like this need to help them fix it, but I'm helpless.
I'm a fixer.
Yeah. I'm helpless.
I do whatever somebody comes to me with a problem, I try to provide a solution. Stacy makes fun of me all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you this so you can try to fix it. I get where they're coming from. At the same time, that's just me.
Yeah. You're doing the best you can to try to be part of the solution, you know?
Right.
So that part was so, and so again, man, I really do believe wherever we are and whatever we're, I think that's why it's front page news. Anytime a preacher fails is because it reveals our humanity, but what it really does is reveals our inauthenticity. That if we were as, don't get me wrong, I always say, I mean, come on, you can't show your whole butt, you know, you don't need to tell everything. But if we could just be open in our pulpits or wherever we are and be like, y'all, we are all fighting this, you know, at the end of the day, Jesus died on the cross because I cannot be holy. Because everybody's like, oh, the scripture says be holy like God is holy. Yeah, but we can't. That's why Jesus died, you know?
And if we could do that, he wouldn't have had to put.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had to come. If we could follow that law, he would not have had to come. And so I just feel like all we really need to do, and the responsibility is on the people of God. It really is. It's not on the non-believers or whatever. It's on the people of God to just say, look, we're out here fighting battles too. We're living our lives that we're struggling. I deal with doubt. I deal with fear. I fight anxiety, you know, all of these things. I do, man. Man, I tell everybody, I've not kept it a secret. Every morning when I first wake up, I lay in my bed and probably for about 20 minutes, I have just paralyzing anxiety. Are people going to book me? Am I going to be able to pay the bills? What if this and what if that? Because, you know, wherever you go, and I'm probably fixing to get myself in more trouble than I've gotten myself in this whole conversation. But especially like in the church and in the gospel circles, I love y'all. If you're listening to this, I love you. I never stop, but this is the truth. Wherever you go, there's always 100 people that are like, oh, I love you, man. We're going to put some stuff together. We're going to do it. And you never hear from them again, ever, you know? And so it's scary, you know, but I think all the world is looking for is for people to stay. Now there are going to be people. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I believe about, you know, predestination or all that stuff. I understand what the scripture says. And I don't know. I feel like that's just a tricky question, you know, because I believe God knows who's going to give their lives to him and who's going to, I know he's God. He knows everything, but I also don't think that takes away the choice because the scripture also says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And, you know, and so I don't know. But there are people that no matter what, they're just not going to be cool with God or they're not going to believe it or whatever, you know? But there are a lot of people, man, that if we would just try to be real and authentic and we can tell the truth, because this is what people do. Well, we got to tell them the truth. You can tell the truth without being, I don't know, like that. You know what I mean?
I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Yeah, you know, because I always say to me, because everybody talks about accountability. I believe in accountability, but if you hold people accountable and you don't have any relationship with them, that's just judgment. You're just judging them.
Amen.
You know? If you got relationship with them, then yeah, then sure, accountability is a very real thing. But I mean, if you're just we're getting out here on Facebook and just telling all these people what they're doing wrong, we don't even know these people.
Ain't got a clue.
Yeah, it's not our place, you know. And so I don't know, but that's a tangent I can go on.
I feel you. Yeah, it's not our job to tell everybody where they're screwing up in life. We're not their judge.
Yeah.
We're not their judge.
We have literally been given two commandments from Jesus. Love God, love your neighbor.
Exactly.
And those are our commandments, you know? And so that's what I try to roll with. What I try to do now, man, it took me, I was 18. It's been almost 30 years now. It's been 28 years since I entered into ministry. And so it took me close to 28 years to come to this decision. But the decision that I have made for myself is what Paul made when he said, it didn't matter where I am or who I'm talking to or what the surroundings are or what the circumstances are. And, you know, Paul was very educated. He was an educated man.
Very much.
But Paul said, I determined for myself that I don't know anything but Christ crucified. And that's all I know. And so that's where I am. I did whatever I think I know, even if I feel like I got proof, I have determined for myself that I don't know anything but Christ crucified. And that's all I know. Because, oh, everybody's fighting about whether you can't, do you talk in tongues? Do you don't talk in tongues? Is it okay to drink wine? Is it not okay to drink wine? Is this or that? What about that? And what about the other? And I'm like, look, all I know is Jesus crucified. Put your faith in Jesus.
That other small stuff. It's small. I mean, if there is such a thing as small stuff, let's agree on the big stuff. Let's agree on Christ and he was crucified for our sins.
And he resurrected. Put your faith in Jesus. And that's all. That's all I got, man.
Yeah. So it is what it is. Maybe one of these days we can get there. But until then, we've got real good music coming from Todd Tillman.
Yeah. Y'all please stream it all. Streams are not a lot of money, so I'll take all the streams I can get.
Todd, thank you for coming onto the show. If you would, tell everybody where they can find you, your music, and what you've got going on.
Yeah. Oh, man. You can find me on all the socials. My website is toddtofficial.com. And my name is spelled crazy, but that don't matter. If you Google Todd Tillman, however you spell it, it'll take you to like either my website or my Instagram or Facebook or something. You know, I'm on all those Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music. I got a YouTube channel. Please go subscribe to all those things because people in this business just care so much about those numbers at the top of the page. And you know, and
I'm running into that myself. So yeah, I feel you.
It's so frustrating because y'all realize like I got friends who have way bigger numbers than me that their engagement is almost nothing. I think it really matters who you're reaching, not really how many numbers, but are those people seeing what you're doing, you know, but whatever, you know, I surrender.
I'm right there with you. I think I've got some of the greatest listeners in the world. The numbers might not be as big or as high as other people, but I think I've got some of the greatest listeners in the world.
I'm with you, man. I'd rather have a handful that are with me and I'll be part of the handful that's with them. You know, that's where I stand with it.
Todd, thank you very much. And hopefully we can do round two here pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Anytime you holler at me.
Thank you. Big thanks to Todd Tillman for coming onto the porch. If you enjoyed the conversation, find him on Facebook or at toddtofficial.com. Tell him you heard about him on Porch Matters. If you are new to the show and like what you hear, hit that like, subscribe, or follow button and download the episodes in the archives. If this show has been a positive addition to your life, please rate the show and leave a review. Won't take you but a minute, and it really would help the show. Find us on social media by typing Porch Matters Podcast into the search bar. Word of mouth is still the best way of sharing. Pick your favorite episode and share it with at least one person this week. There are a lot of people out there that have never heard of a podcast before. I sure would appreciate it. And I'll see you next time right here on Porch Matters.